to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Well, tomorrow is the big day when the Mayan calendar ends, and the new year is just around the corner. That's a time of New Year's resolutions through which we attempt to address our problems. You know, really wise people have been writing about how to make change and solve problems for generations. There are dozens and dozens of self-help books, some written by people like Dr. Phil McGraw, Dale Carnegie, Tony Robbins, Stephen Covey, Susan Jeffers, M. Scott Peck, and Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. Are they all saying the same thing? Or do they have something different to tell us so that we can resolve our issues? Well, librarian Elizabeth Hanley sought the answer to these questions, and she's read over 200 self-help books by these authors and others, and she came up with four basic tips that all these wise people were giving so that you can now easily and fully resolve your problems, and that's what we're discussing on our show today. Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your show creator and host, and during this broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat here on the radio show page of emotionalpro.com or blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. Also, you can call us toll-free at 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. Elizabeth Hanley is author of No Problem, How to Focus on Solutions. She's a senior research librarian who, as I said, studied over 200 self-help books to create and distill her four simple tips that we're discussing today. She's talking to us from her home country of Australia, and she herself is using these four tips, has gone from a life of misery to one of joy. You can find her on the web at noproblembook.com. Elizabeth Hanley, welcome to Full Power Living.
Hello, Eileen. Thank you, and hello, everyone.
So,
yes, it's Sydney, Australia.
Oh, yeah. You're in Sydney. Oh, I love Sydney. I've
been there. Yes, that's a comment I've had from a few people I've spoken to. I've spoken to quite a few people across the U.S. for interviews. It's been very exciting, and yes, Sydney is a favorite.
Don't we call this the pond? The Pacific Ocean is the pond. So you're trained as and you've worked as a research librarian, and that's a person who helps people find resources and information that they need at the library. And it just occurred to me that over the years, you must have had so many people try to get you to help them find resources for finding solutions to their problems. And I wanted to know, is that what got you interested in this project?
Well, yes, in a way it did, being a librarian. What actually happened is I had a lot of problems at work. We had almost a recession here in Australia, and a company I was working for was a large company. We were told one in three of us will lose our jobs. And I was actually a team leader at the time. I had 10 staff, and they didn't take the news very well. They were very upset, which is understandable. And so I had a lot of problems at work you don't normally have. So as a librarian, I was having problems dealing with it. I didn't feel like I was a very good manager. So I thought, as a librarian, I need to learn more about how I can deal with problems better and how I can help people.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's very interesting. And so that also makes me think about scope. What I'm interested in is, when you read all those self-help books, did you find that the people who were offering the suggestions for making better lives for ourselves, do they hold the same scope of vision as most people, or different? Like, I'm wondering if people who develop wisdom to resolve problems possess a wider perspective.
Well, that's an interesting comment, because I discovered that the people that have written these books, Dr. Phil, Stephen Covey, Anthony Robbins, who have sold millions and millions of books, they've actually learned something that most of us don't know, we don't realize. And these lessons are really, really important to know if you want to have a life that is happier, that you're able to deal with problems in a way that is not going to put you down or make you upset or feel like, you know, life's just a struggle. And so these people they have grasped this information and used it in their life to help them, in a way, achieve the life of their dreams.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So you say that when it comes to problems, you do not react to the events in your life. You react to your thinking about the event. And you also say your power lies in changing your thinking. Will you talk to us about this very basic premise, please?
Well, the first thing that you mentioned is really very important, because we don't realize that when a problem occurs, of course, it's going to upset us. I mean, that's natural. We all have that natural reaction of being upset with problems and having a negative thinking disturb us, and having negative thoughts make us feel like things aren't going to go very well for us. But if you really think about it, it's the negative thinking that will keep you down in the long run, not the problem. Because once the problem has happened, it's up to you how you want to deal with it. You can keep the negative thinking going and let that upset you, or you can start to change your thinking about the problem and start to work towards solutions. And this is what the book, the No Problem book, is about. It's about changing the way you see problems. So your first reaction of being negative, you need to move away from that. You need to get out of that and start on more helpful thinking, on thinking that'll focus you on solutions. And the four simple tips in No Problem show you step by step how to move from the negative thinking that'll hit you when a problem occurs onto helpful thinking or more positive thinking, and how to do that quickly and easily.
So let me put a personal note in here, Elizabeth. I've been approaching problems in this way for maybe 35, 40 years now. And I will say that now when a problem hits, I seldom feel negative or overwhelmed, because I step right into what you talk about in the book, which is, this is a problem, this is an issue, it's here to be solved, how do I move to solution? And so I just want to, you do it long enough, you don't even have to get upset in the first place.
Exactly. And what you've done is really important. You define the problem at the beginning. You look at the problem. You don't get caught up in your emotions. And that is very important. It's the first important step, which is the first tip I talk about, is looking at the problem for what it is and not getting caught up with all the emotions of what might happen or into negative thinking of, why is this happening to me? And that's if you can do that, you'll find that you will be able to deal with problems.
Well, you know, it's very interesting in my household, Elizabeth, because my husband reacts about opposite from me. For example, this week.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, two or three things. Well, he was trained as a surgeon, and he tells me, listen, I was trained to look for all the things that could possibly go wrong so that I anticipate them, so that I can be ready for them in a surgery. And this pattern is, he's now retired, but the pattern's hard to break. And so this week, for example, he's had three things come up, like a dental surgery and so forth. And his immediate reaction is to feel depressed and down, and to say, oh my gosh, look at all the things that are going wrong. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm going, I think you should read this book. No, I've been talking with him a lot, because it's really almost opposite. And I'm so aware of how that initial negative thinking just takes the stuffing out of a person.
Yeah, and it's that initial negative thinking that if you can get over that, if you can move away from that, it'll really put you into solution mode, and you will be surprised how problems just won't upset you. And the thing is, the four simple tips, the idea of the tips is to get you out of that negative thinking mode, because a lot of people have no strategy when they're stuck in the negative thinking. Like, your husband doesn't have a strategy at the moment. And it's important in his job as a surgeon to predict what can go wrong, but that's his job. It's not his life. So he seems to have carried that sort of that important quality in his job and transferred it onto his life as well. And sort of need to have a break there, because he really needs to shift out of that negative mode, because he's not operating on someone. He doesn't have to worry about all the different things that can go wrong. It's a dentist appointment. You know, he only has to look at what is going to happen with the dentist and trust the dentist will know what he's doing.
Well, he says that doctors make terrible patients because they know all the things that can go wrong. And, yes. You know, so I guess they don't totally trust the other person. But one of the things that does come up that I talk with him about is he said yesterday, for example, he said, the problems just don't stop coming. And I said, but if they do, you're dead. You know? So we don't expect problems, do we?
Well, you know, that's true. I don't know. Have you heard of Scott Peck? He wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled.
Yes, I read it many years ago.
In his first line, almost in the first page of his book, he goes, "Life is a series of problems." And you may think, well, that's depressing. But the thing is, he says, once we accept that, once we realize this, then it won't matter. Because we know they're just part of life and they're okay. So when you realize that, you know, having good times, they're going to come, but also bad times, that it's just a part of life. You have the good times and you're happy and you go on, and then sometimes there's going to be a couple of down times. You deal with them and you move on. And that statement, I remember when I first read it, it was like a light bulb. I'm thinking, gosh, he's right. There's always going to be problems. I'm not going to be bothered getting upset about 99% of them, because most of them, there's another book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Yes,
have
Richard Carlson.
Yeah, yes. Most of them are small stuff. And mm-hmm. so with a problem, really, you have to don't sweat the small stuff. If it's an important problem, you have to deal with it. But a lot of problems are really small.
Yes, Richard's widow, Chris Carlson, has a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for Moms, and she's been a guest on our program. She lives near me, in fact.
Yes, it's an amazing book. He actually wrote Don't Sweat the Small Stuff is great, and a lot of problems are quite, you know, they're not that, we blow them out of proportion, like going to the dentist. It's a dentist appointment, you know. Chances are you will live. And then he wrote a book called What About the Big Stuff? Because there is a bit of big stuff. And what was really great about his book, he says, even the big stuff teaches us to appreciate life, to live and to enjoy it. Because, you know, things do go wrong for other people, big stuff, you know?
But one of the things that I've learned, I've been a psychotherapist for 40 years, Elizabeth, and also I got exposed to some spiritual philosophy, and it's led me to the conclusion that our earth is a giant school, and we all come here in order to learn, so that when something comes up, it's not really a problem, it's a learning opportunity. And I think you talk about this in No Problem also.
That's true. I mean, problems... One thing, the book has questions in it to help you with a problem, because sometimes when you're stuck in negative thinking, you're stuck with negative questions. You're rolling around negative questions in your head, and that doesn't help you. So I've got questions in there that will help you see the problem differently. And one of the questions is, what can I learn from this problem? You'd be amazed. If you look back at some of the problems you've had in your life, you know, in the past, you think, oh, yeah, because of that, this happened, and because of that, I learned this. And they do teach us something. There's Peck also said something, and Peck is a little bit of a favorite of mine. He was one of the first ones I actually read. He says that it's only when we deal with problems that we learn and grow. And it's like going to school. When we send our children to school, if the teachers never gave them math problems or any other problems, would you be happy? Would you think they'd be learning anything?
Not much.
No. I mean, if you were never given a math problem, you'd be hopeless at maths. Or if you were never given, like, a spelling problem or any set of problem at school. And so we send our children to school, and we're happy for the teachers to throw problems at them, because that's how they learn. That's how their mind develops, and that's how they develop, you know, their personalities, and that's how they develop their ability to cope with life and things that happen. But it continues when you leave school. And the thing is, you need to keep learning, and you need to find the information you need to deal with the problems. It's not the problems that are the problem. It's you not knowing how to deal with the problem.
Yes. You know, this is very relevant. I know you get news from the States in Australia. You know more about us than we know about you, sadly. Good for you, sad for us. But you no doubt are aware of this horrific shooting that occurred in a school in Connecticut this past week. And I've been thinking, to me, this is an opportunity for us to learn. Now, the hue and cry here in the States is we've got to do gun control and we've got to do something about the mentally ill. But I've been trying to dig a little deeper, like what is it that we're supposed to learn? And other things have come up. For example, the television programs that we have that our kids watch all the time are largely focused on crime and violence. And I think we need to maybe put different images in front of our kids. And another thing is that maybe through reality shows, for example, people are applauded for not being nice to one another, for manipulating one another. And I think another part of the lesson learning that we need to have is that we need to be more loving with one another. We need to be nicer to ourselves and to others. What do you think about that, and how does that fit with what you've learned?
Well, that's very important, because often when we see like the terrible, terrible tragedy that you were talking about, and I mean, I must admit personally, I would think some degree of gun control would be suitable. I mean, you know, that's just my personal opinion. We had an incident here in Australia years ago, and after that there was a change in our legislation here for gun control. We've never had an incident like that again. But when we do have such horrific things happen, we do tend to look at the big picture and say, we have to do this, we have to do that. But also we need to look at the little picture. What are we letting our children watch? And what are we letting into our lives by the TV shows we watch, the magazines we buy? What can we change about ourselves and how we raise our children, what we tell our children to deal with life in a better way? So that would help too, just everybody looking at their own lives and how what their children are seeing and what they're experiencing. Yes, you're right. It isn't just the big picture of just gun control. There's also the personal effort of what can you do as a parent to make sure, you know, that the children are learning the right lessons. They're getting the valuable sort of idea that life isn't just about these reality TV shows and all this violence on TV. You know, I know there's a program here in Australia where it's trying to teach children to turn the TV off and do more outdoor activities and sort of move the focus away from being stuck on the internet and stuck on Facebook and whatever, and just sort of get a more balanced view of life.
Oh, that's wonderful. Speaking of balance, we need to balance by having a break right now. We're talking today with Australian research librarian Elizabeth Hanley, who's author of No Problem, How to Focus on Solutions. We'll have a lot more to talk about, including your own personal rules, and we're going to go through the four tips when we return. You're listening to Full Power Living.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, incredible communication that helps you create incredible kids by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. You know our upcoming guests are listed at the top of our radio show page on EmotionalPro.com. And next week we're featuring our show of the year for 2012, a recording I made a short time ago with Dr. Bradley Nelson, who's author of The Emotion Code. I selected him because his work is so directly in line with our theme of transforming the world through the power and importance of human emotions. On that show, he offers three live demonstrations, including one on me, of how it's possible to transform your life by literally removing unwanted emotional responses, especially those held in your subconscious mind. And he does it with a simple refrigerator magnet, and you can do that on your own to great effect. So I hope you'll take the time to listen to this transformative show on the 27th. In January, we've got a full show line up for you, starting with Jamal Yogis. He's a surfer who challenged himself to face a series of intense fears, like surfing in shark-infested waters, to find out more about fear. We're also going to, in January, look at the new planetary reality, soul stories, and attitude reconstruction. And I hope you don't miss any of this. Join us starting January 3rd for a resumption of our live shows. And if you can't listen live on Blog Talk Radio or EmotionalPro.com, please remember that you can subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes. And thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. We're talking today with author Elizabeth Hanley. She says that by following her four simple tips, a person can take themselves from "oh no" to "no problem" by changing the way they view and react to the events that come their way. So even if you are stuck in a rut of too busy, too tired, or too financially strapped to improve your life mentality, you can use these four simple tips to transform your life. And Elizabeth, you mentioned in some of your materials that it transformed your life. I want to start this segment by having you tell us how you see your life having been transformed by what you've learned.
Well, the first thing is, before this problem at work, I pretty much struggled with problems like everybody else, and I just thought that's the way life was. And after this problem, and because I was a manager, I felt a bit of a responsibility to help my staff. I thought I had to do something, you know. I mean, I didn't want to be a bad manager and just ignore how people were feeling. So that's when I started reading, especially Stephen Covey. Have you heard of his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People?
Very much. Unfortunately, the world lost him recently. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I was so upset. He was the one person I really, really wanted to meet. My gosh. I was really upset. He was my favorite author, and he was the best book. And I learned a lot from reading his book about managing my staff, because his book is a bit business-related.
Yes.
And his book was very interesting. And it has, and I mentioned this in my book, when I was doing the research, I picked what I thought was the best information and advice these authors had to give. And I've used that advice myself, and that's actually how the book was formed. And Covey puts problems into three different categories. And from those categories, he sort of guides you in the way, in the form your solutions will take place. And that really helped me see my problems differently in a way that I'd never seen them before. And I'd say that was sort of the major turning point with how I related to problems.
Yeah. So that's he said you have direct control, indirect control, or no control. In other words, you define what you can actually do something about and what you can't do something
about.
So
in the define tip, which is the first tip, I actually go through Covey's categories, and I explain how he talks about them, and how he explains what a solution will look like if your problem's in this category. And also the other thing that the define tip has, which really helped me, was it's called thought breaks. And what they are is they're little strategies you can use, because when a problem hits you, it's a bit like your husband. Your thoughts are negative, you know what I mean? You're just hit with negative thoughts. And it's really hard to get out of that for some people. And these thought breaks teach you how to snap out of the negative thought and move on to something else to sort of distract you from all the negative thinking onto another topic. And it's important to get out of that negative thinking because you will not find solutions if you're stuck in negative thinking. So the Define tip has that information in it.
Right. I like the first one. Start counting backwards from 100. Just distract yourself. Yeah.
It totally distracts yourself.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm struck. No problem is really simple and straightforward in your approach. The way I read it, correct me if you don't agree, you say something like, we all have problems, accept it. When you have a problem, change your thinking, and then you'll start realizing where there's a problem, there's a solution. So then start looking toward the solutions and start thinking a little bigger. And here are four things to do that you can follow. 1, 2, 3, 4. So the first one is define what's going on, look at your problem. The second one is to own the problem. What do you mean by this?
Oh, I have to admit, this one shocked me when I read about this one because I actually thought I was quite responsible and I was owning my problems. But when I was reading about all these authors and when they were saying what owning your problem really means, I was absolutely stunned. I wasn't owning anything. The own tip shows you how to take control of your problems. I call it the power tip. Because when you take control of something, you obviously have power over it. So there's one thing, I actually do no problem seminars here in Australia, and I ask a question in the seminars, and the question is, all your problems have one thing in common. What do you think that is?
They're my problems. Yes, of course.
Yeah, so you obviously play a part. And the irony of it is, even if someone else causes the problem, and if it's a problem for you, it's still your problem. So one thing I stopped doing is I stopped blaming, and that changed my life totally. I just stopped blaming. Even if the other person caused the problem, I wasn't interested in blaming. I just looked at, hey, what can I do for myself in this situation? And there are questions in the book that help you work out how much control you have over the problem, which is something Covey talks about. And from knowing how much control you have over it, you can see where your solution lies.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. I take that one step further. I had an experience with my husband's ex-wife where she behaved in a way and I got really furious for about 3 days. Now, I'm a recovered angry person and I don't usually get really furious. And it took me about 3 days to realize that she had accomplished something for me that nobody else was accomplishing, that she had done something that left me really, really angry. So I went the next step of deciding that she was my guru. She was my teacher.
Exactly. You learned the lesson, yes.
Right. And that really changed things. You know, I could be grateful to her.
Yes.
And I've come to the conclusion that most people who do things that create problems for us can also be seen as people who are offering us an opportunity to learn something that we need to learn.
Ironically, when your husband's ex-wife upset you, it wasn't her that kept upsetting you. You kept upsetting yourself.
Yes, I did.
By what she said to you. So that's what I mean about owning it. When you realize you were just upsetting yourself, because what she said 3 days ago, it's finished, it's gone. But you kept whatever she said or whatever happened in your head, and you were just thinking about it and going on about it. You were creating that problem for yourself. She may have initiated something, but the thing is, when somebody initiates something, we can choose to discard it and say, I'm not even going to bother giving the time of day to that person. Or we can you know, let it simmer inside of us and get angry and upset. But we choose that, and that's what I mean by own. Like, I used to be like that before I read this book. I used to get upset about something someone said or did. And then when I realized that I was upsetting myself, I thought, that's just ridiculous. Why am I doing this to myself? And I find it very easy to forgive and let go. That doesn't mean I'm friends with the person, but I will very easily forgive and let it go because I do not want to waste my time being upset about what someone said. When I disagree with them, they can say what they want, they can believe what they want, but this is what I believe. So that was it was almost liberating, because I'm very rarely, I have no grudges, I don't hate anyone, you know, I live and let live, and I just feel happy. And even when somebody, I mean, I still get people saying negative things about me, but that's their opinion, and that's fine with them. I don't have to be with them, and that's the way it is. But I'm not going to upset myself by something someone said.
Let me just put one thing in here. What I noticed, basically the problem was that this woman preached constantly about politeness, and then, to my mind, did something that was incredibly rude. Now, this had also happened with my stepmother. The things went round and round in me. This is what I mean by me having this problem, was for me to learn and complete from all the way back in my childhood that some people talk about politeness and they don't practice it, and that's just their issue, and I don't have to get involved in it.
Exactly, yeah. When you realize that you're upsetting yourself, and that the incident of the politeness, or her being polite, talking about being polite and not being polite, it had finished days ago, correct?
Yes.
But you were still thinking about it.
Yes.
And so with owning, we need to, as you said, you need to accept that's what someone's like. I mean, I remember reading this really good quote. It was Susan Jeffers, "Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway."
Mm-hmm.
She talks about, you need to learn to change yourself to cope with people who won't change. So with the example of your husband's ex-wife, or your mother-in-law, or wherever,
my stepmother.
They're not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, stepmother. So they're not going to change. So you need to say, look, they're going to say things that are going to upset me, but I don't have to accept it. I'm just going to just say, yes, that's your opinion, that's fine, and just, you know, not worry about it.
But you know,
I know that's easy to say, but it actually works. Cause I've had situations where people, like, I have older friends and older people who are telling me what to do all the time, and I used to get upset, and my parents or you know, friends, and now I just say, well, thank you so much for your opinion. I'll take that into consideration, and I just forget about it. So they're happy because they've been acknowledged, and I just do what I want because it's my life.
Now, one of the things that's really great, I like that. One of the things that you talk about that I think is really important, a principle that I learned as a spiritual principle, is that help that isn't asked for doesn't work. And I think a lot of times people get overwhelmed with their problems because they don't either know they can ask for that help, or they won't allow themselves to ask for help. And you address this in your book.
Yes, this is really, really important, because obviously most problems we actually can deal with ourselves, but obviously there are problems like, you know, alcoholism or drugs, addictions. They are really difficult problems. You know, they're very hard to break, and they're subject to relapse, and they are the sort of problems you need to get help with. So even in the book, when you're doing the four tips, one thing that the tips will show you is if you need help, and you really need to get help. Because if you have a problem that you have tried to solve and you can't solve, your solution is to get help. You need to put your focus into getting help. That is how you solve that problem. So I would not say that not my book or any book will help you solve serious problems. You need to get help. That's your path to a solution.
That's really great. So I know we have a lot of listeners today, and I want to invite you to call in and talk with Elizabeth Hanley. 888-498-0570, 888-498-0578. And if you're having a problem with shyness, now's your time to focus on your solution. Okay, so we have defined the problem, own the problem, and now basic tip three is to tell the truth.
Yes, the truth. Now, this is a tricky tip. This tip. It took me a long time to sort of get it right in my mind, because we all have different perceptions of life, what we think. We all have different ideas of what life should be about. A very good example is what you were talking about your husband's ex-wife saying... saying about being courteous and then not being courteous.
Right.
Well, that was your perception that she wasn't courteous, and ironically saying that she was being courteous. But her perception is she is being courteous. So her truth was different to your truth.
Yes.
So do you see what I mean? She thought she was being courteous and kind, and that's her truth. But in reality, she's not. But the thing is, that's the problem with the truth. We need to look at the truth, and sometimes we think we're doing something right. We think it's the truth, but it actually isn't. Mm-hmm. Another good example is if you're being told you're a loser or you're a failure. And often we feel like that, but the reality is everybody loses and everybody fails. No one is just a winner or a loser. So the saying to ourselves you're a loser or a failure isn't true. And in the book, I ask questions so you can check whether your thinking is true or whether you've got these false beliefs running in your head, which will make you a lot more difficult to solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ironically, one of the beliefs that you had about the ex-wife not being courteous, or the mother-in-law?
The ex-wife was the one. Basically, she took the child to an open house at school, the one child that my husband and she had in common, and walked out of the school and went home, making the assumption that we would take care of the child without saying anything to anybody, not even the child.
Yes. Assumptions is another problem. We have to face the truth because we assume things. She obviously assumed you were going to do something, and obviously you didn't know about it. So there's all sorts of things we need to look at. And the thing is, when somebody makes an assumption, it's really easy to get upset and say, well, you know, you assume that. How can I know that? But being a right fighter isn't going to solve the problem. I mean, she may have been wrong and made the wrong assumption, but that's not going to solve your problem, making her out to be wrong. So you need to sort of approach it in a different way and speak to her, say, oh, the next time, would you mind telling us what you're going to do? Because we didn't realize that you assumed we were just going to take care of the child. So there's a lot of things about truth that we need to look within ourselves to make sure that we're dealing with what's going on and not what we think is going on.
Right. Now, I learned this concept many years ago, Elizabeth, from a yogi named Kaushik, K-A-U-S-H-I-K, and he called it facing fact. And that is to look squarely at what's going on, not at what somebody's told you or what you hope is going on or what you don't want to see.
Yes.
And it he was offering it as the path to freedom. That when you look squarely, you get free of the problem. And I think that's part of what you're offering in No Problem, too.
Yes, when you do face the truth, you will always see a solution. But the problem is a lot of people don't get to a solution because they don't look at the truth. Dr. Phil has a very famous saying. I don't know if you've ever watched him, maybe a couple.
Yes.
You can't change what you don't acknowledge. You can't change anything unless you face the truth. And so this is where a lot of problems are just stuck, and people are stuck in them because they don't face the truth. Mm-hmm. And you'll never find a solution if you don't face the truth.
That's certainly true. It's time for a second break. That's the truth. We're talking today with the author of No Problem, How to Focus on Solutions, research librarian Elizabeth Hanley. We'll be right back.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar. We're back here on Full Power Living talking with Elizabeth Hanley, who had the brilliance to read over 200 of the best self-help books available and distill their wisdom into four simple tips that can transform your life, and then feature them in her book, No Problem, How to Focus on Solutions. You can find this book at noproblembook.com, and I urge you to go and check it out. As Elizabeth has been mentioning, there are many, many questions. Essentially, the last half of the book is dedicated to helping you step by step work through to find solutions, to take you through the process. And it's very well done. And so if you're facing some problems for which you're looking for solutions, I recommend that you get the book. So, Elizabeth, are you planning to come to the U.S. anytime with your courses?
I would love to come. Yes, I would love to come to the U.S.
Okay. So
yes. So no, I haven't got any plans at the moment, but it's an amazing place. I'm a bit of I'm a bit obsessed with your comedy shows, I have to admit. Every day I watch. And I actually mentioned this in my book. I mean, laughter is a part of life. And you actually, I mean, I watch half an hour of a U.S. sitcom every day. It's just like eating to me because I sit there and I laugh. I don't care what's going on in the world. I'll give you an example. About a few days ago, my computer crashed. I lost everything, a whole year's work, right? And I was upset for 5 minutes and I thought, I'm going to watch a U.S. sitcom. And after half an hour of laughing, I thought, oh, well, let's see what we can do about this. So it's really important. You've got to get that laughter in. And you don't have to watch a show. You can do anything that makes you happy. You need to do it every day. I mean, I don't expect my husband to make me happy. I don't expect the outside world to make me happy. I do what I need to do to make sure that, you know, I laugh every day. And that's one. There are actually jokes in the book, and there's little tips in the book of how to do that.
And cartoons and little stories.
Oh, yes, cartoons. I had to put in cartoons. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's a wonderful book. And for those of you who struggle with reading, it's an easy to read book. I thought that was really wonderful that you did that.
I tried to make it as easy as possible because some of these authors I found a little bit difficult to read. I mean, they're
really
brilliant authors. But Anthony Robbins. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
His book, and it's an amazing, he's got amazing books. One of them was 500 pages. By the time I got to the middle, I forgot what I read at the beginning. So that's when I started taking notes. But there's just brilliant authors, but there's a lot there. And the thing is, the information you need to know, by reading the book, you're going to forget it all. And what I did is I wrote down what I thought was the most valuable, the things that would help you the most, the golden nuggets of information. And I put it as simply as I possibly could because I knew I would not remember it because there's so much information out there that's thrown at us every day.
Right.
And by putting it in under four simple tips, if you can just remember the tip, and you only have to read the tip once, you get the understanding of the tip. And it'll help you use it towards the problem.
Yes. And that's really...
Anthony Robbins, I have to... Yes, yes.
Go ahead. What about Anthony Robbins?
There's one lesson in his book that really changed my way of dealing with problems, and it's in the truth tip. And when he was doing his seminars, and this was, I think, in the 90s. It's a while now. He was really big in the 90s, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And he was just starting out, and he had a manager who was taking care of his finances. Well, this manager embezzled, it was over $500,000. It was a lot of money. And it wasn't all his money. Some of it was the bank's money. Now, you know, I mean, obviously you think if that happened to you, you'd be really upset and you'd blame the manager. But I couldn't believe it. He didn't blame the manager. He said the truth. He looked at the truth, and the truth was he should have been watching what that manager was doing with his money. He should have been keeping an eye on things. Mm-hmm. And he took responsibility. He didn't blame anyone. He just turned the situation around. He paid the money back. And I thought, that's just incredible. Most people would blame the other person and they'd just declare bankruptcy. But he didn't. And that's what amazed me. He faced the truth about himself, how he needed to take responsibility for his money. You know, and that was the truth. He didn't take mm-hmm. responsibility. He didn't look at what was happening with his money. And that's what I mean about facing the truth. It can be difficult to face mm-hmm. What was your role? What did you do or what didn't you do that caused this problem?
Right. And we can see in that, too, that he had something to learn from. You can see how his manager set him up to realize that he wasn't looking after his own life the way he needs to. Now, let me get over to personal laws. In my life, Elizabeth, I've lived by what I have come to understand as a universal principle. And my children thought for many years that I was the most stubborn woman on the earth. My son told me that one time. because he said, Mom, I talk with you and I get to a certain place with you and you will not budge. But by the time he was about 18, he said, I finally realized what it is that you're doing. You're standing on principle. And I've come to admire you for that. Now, that's the way I understand this personal laws business. Tell us your understanding, how you approach personal laws.
Well, that's in the balance tip. And I must admit, this is one of my favorite tips because, for example, when the computer crashed, I really had to sort of think, okay, this isn't the end of my life. Don't panic, you know. Like, is this going to matter in a year's time? No, probably not. So one of my personal laws, and I have personal laws the way you do, but Covey calls them principles. He calls them principles. And I like to call them personal laws because I think that makes them a bit more understandable to people. Like, you know, we have laws in society, and that keeps, you know, everybody sort of fairly, you know, treating each other. And and when the laws are broken, of course, we have the rules to protect us, the police and whatever. And it's the same with our lives. We need rules. We need laws so that when something goes wrong, we know what to do. And the sort of things that like stealing or lying or whatever, we all have laws. I mean, I would never steal. There's no way. It's not something I would do. I would never want anything that much, and that's a personal law of mine. And so you have to decide what's important to you. And obviously when you were raising your children, you had principles or laws, and you were going to stick by them. And they learned that, you know, this is the way to have a life that you know how to deal with problems, because if a problem came up and I haven't got any money, I know I'm not going to steal, because that's one of my laws, so I have to figure out another way to deal with the problem.
Right, right. And, you know, my children...
Yeah, you're right.
I was just going to say, my children are now 42 and 35, and interestingly enough, they live by principle or personal law themselves. They got what it was like, and I'd really love everybody to live that way. The other thing, and you talk about this in No Problem, it empowers you to have your personal laws. You have a level of integrity and strength when you know how you're going to behave in a situation regardless of what comes up.
Yes, well, that's true. I mean, your personal laws, and when Covey talks about it, he says that your laws should be in the center of your life. Some people have sort of maybe have their children in the center of their lives, and then what happens when the children leave, like for university or get married, then you find you've got no center. So if you only see yourself as a mum or as, you know, as a guardian of these children and they leave, then what are you about? And some people put their spouse in the center or money. If you lose the money or your spouse leaves, then your identity is a bit shaken, so you don't know who you are. But when you have your personal laws, when you know what your life's about, when you know what you want in your life, you have dreams, you have ambitions, you have an idea of what you are about, what your life's about, if the other areas of your life, if something goes wrong with them, then you will be able to handle it, because the center, he says the center is stable. And when the center is stable, then you will be able to cope. And one of my favorite examples is like before, years ago, I used to hear about women whose husbands left them and they were devastated. Mm-hmm. And I used to think, oh, that's terrible. I don't want to get married. And I remember after reading this book, I actually read this information before I got married, I was very comfortable getting married because I knew even if my husband left me, I wouldn't devastate, I wouldn't fall apart because I knew who I was, I had my own life, and I would carry on. And I would have my own dreams and my own things that I wanted to do. So my husband is part of my life, and I love that. But if anything happened, if he ran off with a blonde or whatever, it wouldn't be the end of my life. I wouldn't be thrilled, but I wouldn't be devastated. I wouldn't be crying and you know, begging him or anything to come back. So that's what's important about having personal laws and having having principles. I mean, you know who you are, so when things go wrong, the actual center, which is you, can cope because that doesn't change.
Right. All right, so we need to squeeze in this. Step four, it's about keeping balance, which I understand is like focusing on the big picture instead of getting lost in the details or the demands, needs, or expectations of others. How did that come in from all the reading that you did? What's that about?
Well, one thing, this was Covey again. We tend to sort of all, and it happens to everyone, especially Christmas time, you're so tunnel vision, oh, it's Christmas, I've got to get this done, I've got to buy presents, and I've got to, and it becomes overwhelming, and you get so focused on this little aspect of life, these few days that are coming up, or this event that's coming up, that problems tend to sort of become difficult to cope with, because there's so much going on. So what I like about the balance tip is that you need to step back, and when I have a problem, and we'll have or a lot of problems, and I imagine myself as being 100 years old in a rocking chair. It's like when my computer crashed, and I say to myself, what would I say if I was 100 looking back at this problem? And about my computer crashing, I'd say, like, don't worry about it. You're not going to even need the information in a few weeks. And, you know, I mean, even now I'm not worried about it, and it's only been 4 days. So you really need to look at the big picture because you're going to die one day. I don't mean to be blunt. That's true.
Right.
So you need to enjoy life because it's going to end. And, you know, when my computer crashed, I'm thinking, I'm 100 years old. I'm not going to live very long. Who cares about my computer crashing?
Right.
I just want to enjoy my life. You need to look at the big picture because we forget we're on a journey. We're all on a life journey. It's going to end. And it's a waste to let problems spoil that precious journey because we're all going to the end of the journey. We have no choice. None of us can freeze time or add time to our life. It's so important to see you're on a journey and look at the problem in perspective to your journey, this whole journey. And a lot of problems look really insignificant, even a crashed computer with a year's work lost.
Right. Well, I hope you can reconstruct it or maybe find somebody who can find it on your hard drive.
Ironically, I did back up a lot. So
good.
I didn't lose it. I did back up a lot. But, I mean, there was some stuff that I didn't back up. But, you know, that's life. You know, I'm just going to have to live without it.
Yes. So let me just say, you know, I came to Australia in the early 90s and got invited to come back and give some speeches. Those of you who are listening, if you would like to help Elizabeth come to the U.S., the thing to do is to get some of your friends together, find a place where you can hold an event, and invite Elizabeth to come. Anybody who's listening who'd like more of this very simple, very down-to-earth, and very effective way of resolving problems, just consider doing that. I'll give that to you as a problem to focus on the solution for. And Elizabeth, they can get hold of you at noproblembook.com. Is that correct?
Well, it's also available at Amazon's, and in the U.S. you can order it in the bookstores. So, yes.
But for reaching you, if they wanted to reach you, how do they do that?
Oh, yes, yes. To contact me, it's elizabeth@noproblembook.com. So it's
okay.
Very easy email to remember. Yep.
elizabeth@noproblembook.com. All right. So I hope somebody will take up that challenge and we'll get you here. And when you do, let me know that you're in town. Please, or coming to town.
Thank you.
All right. So, Elizabeth,
that would be very exciting.
Yeah, that would be good. And you have a lot of wonderful things to say and to have gone through all of this and distilled things down so simply and so down to earth. It's the kind of thing where people could get somewhere with it. So I want to thank you for the service that you've done and for writing your book, No Problem, How to Focus on Solutions, as well as for being with us here on Full Power Living today. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Eileen. It's been great talking to you. Even though it's 4:30 in the morning, I'm still awake.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Yes.
I was going to ask you at the beginning, no hard questions, please, but I didn't get a chance.
Oh, somebody forgot to inform me. You came to the wrong program for that, huh? You've done it.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope I made some sense.
You've done beautifully. I hope you have time to get a good nap now.
Yes, I'm going straight to bed. And also with the Mayan calendar, I'm a day ahead. I assure you everything's fine.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. That's the great thing you've done for today. Yes. All right. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Enjoy your sleep. And
that's
thank
all
you
right.
for your sacrifice as well. Take care.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern time, or 4 in the morning if you're in Australia, for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. And don't forget to listen next week to our show of the year with Dr. Bradley Nelson. We'll be back live on January 3rd to talk about the Fear Project. Paul and Robin Johnson of Fresh Talk Media are our producers. Thank you so much. Have a great holiday season. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become. Thank you for being with us today.
You're listening to Full Power Living, Eileen Dillon.